How does one measure true greatness? Well, different yardsticks would be appropriate for different fields of endeavor. So in baseball, the traditional mark of excellence has been the home run record. And in the world of business, the amount of money or wealth amassed. In electoral politics, the size of the victory. And yet we know that in the real world, all of these standards are flawed and can have problems. So Barry Bonds holds the home run record, 762, with a big, fat, steroid-laced asterisk next to it. Larry Ellison, according to Forbes, is the third richest man in America with $43 billion in the bank. Yet Mr. Ellison cannot escape scorn and ridicule for the way he has turned this year's America's Cup competition into a vanity project in which nobody wants to participate. And electoral politics. Well, a margin of 520 to 17 in the Electoral College is pretty impressive, particularly when it's matched with a record 18 million vote margin. But we all know what happened to Richard Nixon. The world's measures come up short, and that is something that Scripture reminds us of again and again. Both the Old and the New Testaments offer us models of what true greatness really is all about. We see that in the stories of prophets and apostles, of the countless faithful throughout the years, and most powerfully in Jesus. We saw an example of that in today's story. Now, I will confess that this passage from the lectionary is in some ways wildly inappropriate for Children's Sunday. Some of you might be thinking, why not go to Matthew 19 and talk about Jesus telling his followers to bring the little children to him? Or maybe 1 Samuel 17 and the story of David taking on Goliath. Why this story from Luke about a mother mourning her deceased child? It seems wrong, even perverse, to have this be the lesson on this Children's Sunday. And yet, the words we need to hear are in this passage because they tell us about the heart of the God of whom we teach our children. It's this God they learn about in the church school, and hopefully they see modeled in our actions. The story might seem to be about a miracle in which Jesus raises a dead man and brings him back to life. He's definitely stepping up his game from last week when he healed from afar the centurion's slave. But there's something else going on. Because the story is not about the dead young man, it is about his mother. And it's about the compassion and the love that Jesus shows her. We've mentioned before just how different the ancient world was from ours. And yet there are some things that remain true over time and space. And that is the heartbreak of a parent mourning the death of a child. And so it would seem normal, reasonable to us that Jesus would approach this woman. But this is when we have to recall some of the differences. In that time, in that place, Men did not talk to women in public. And in that time and place, Jesus, by touching the body, became ritually impure. These would have been shocking, scandalous actions. But Jesus isn't worried about his reputation. He isn't worried about protocol. He is worried about reaching out to the person in need, to showing compassion and love and care. Boundaries will not stop him, nor tradition. This story offers a guide for you and for me as to how we are to reach out to those in need, to those in pain, to those who are mourning. This kind of compassion is something worth thinking about on this Children's Sunday. It's easy for people to say, why does God let bad things happen to people, especially to children? And we can grapple with these existential questions. But in so much of life, we shouldn't be asking the question of God, but of ourselves. And so we can think of the image of a small child rummaging through a dump in New Delhi, looking for the item or the scrap that can be sold to get a little money to put some food on the table. We can think about children who are forced to fight in civil wars in Africa, or families that have no choice but to build their homes in flood-prone plains in Bangladesh or Pakistan where cyclones will come through and like clockwork wreak havoc. And of course, we don't need to look over there to see how children are all too often let down. We can look closer to home. 16.1 million children living in poverty in this country. That's one in five. The children's demographic has the highest rate of poverty in this country, 21.9% compared to just 6.7% for those over 65. Now we can think about all of these problems and challenges, and we can feel overwhelmed, and we can throw up our hands and say it's futile to try to do anything. Or we can see a need and we can respond. And maybe we're just doing things at the edges. But if everybody is doing something at the edges, we will work our way in toward the center. That's why we can be excited about our new partnership with Epilogos. And we lift this up not to pat ourselves on the back, but we can begin to envision the way we can change some lives. At $540 that we presented this morning, that our kids raised, we'll provide one child with 3 years of high school education or three children for 1 year, and then we can go raise more money next year for three more kids. And we can change a life and offer opportunity. And we can go on a mission trip. And we can have the kind of experiences Terry talked about before, where we meet our neighbors in a different place. And don't go to help, but to build relationships and be transformed. We can think about the things that we do with WISE and with Second Growth organizations that are working to make a positive difference in the lives of at-risk families and teens. That's how we take care of our children. And we do it through our church school and through offering a nurturing environment in which kids are exposed to the faith and learn about how God loves them. That's how we take care of our children. We don't need to buy $250 sneakers, but we could spend the $250 on a mission project. This story is all about compassion and love and sacrifice. This story also points to what is to come. Jesus here, in this early part of Luke, signals that he is not going to let barriers come between him and those in need. And we know that the story will build to the climax on the cross, where he will give everything for you and for me. We see in Jesus and we see in this story how in our times of need, God isn't out there, but God is coming to us here. And nothing, nothing, nothing will stop him from doing so. It's here in Jesus that we see love and grace and restoration and true greatness.